A scripture that I pray tonight that will uplift us. A scripture that will encourage us. And a scripture to let us know tonight that we are a blessed people. Amen. And you know this scripture very, very well. But I want to just stay in this scripture for a little while tonight. And I appreciate those upstairs that will help me as well. Psalm 100. Five verses of scripture. A five-night revival. One night per scripture. I think we could do it. You preachers that preach, you think you could break it apart. We could spend a night on each one. When I was studying this earlier today, and I stayed in on purpose and studied today for this. So I think you could take this scripture, and I think you could do a lot of preaching out of it. I'm going to try to do it in one night. It's not but five verses. So y'all hang on, and we'll get through this together. Praise the Lord. I guess the question as we start this evening is, people say, praise the Lord. And there would be those that would say, why should I praise the Lord? What has the Lord done for me? That's our society that we're living in. So when the psalmist begins to exhort the people to praise the Lord, he breaks this psalm down and basically he tells us in this psalm, why we need to praise the Lord. So I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about it. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Would you just stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight? Father, we give you praise. We give you honor tonight, God, as we come before you, Lord. I know, God, that I can't do anything in and of myself. I know, God, that I would fall flat on my face. But tonight, Lord, I've studied, I've prepared, I've done what I thought I could do to prepare myself for this service tonight. So we pray this evening, Holy Spirit, that God, that you would lead us. Holy Spirit, that you would guide us in all the words that we would say tonight. Father, let the word of the Lord go forth tonight. Let it be an encouragement to those that might be here. I pray, Father God, that the word would fall on good ground, that God, that it would bring forth the harvest in due season. And we are thankful, God, for what you're already doing. Thank you for the singing, every song that's been sung. And I pray tonight that, God, that you would just let us all leave this place together this evening better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, when we begin to look at this psalm, of course, there's always lots of commentaries and lots of studies and things that we could look to. But I wanted to just share a few things that was said about this particular psalm this evening. This particular psalm is a psalm that speaks of an invitation to the whole entire earth to know God and to worship him as God. This psalm is a powerful call to worship, to praise God, to magnify God, and to be filled with gratitude, reverence, and trusting in God's goodness, inviting all to participate in worship unto the Lord. When we think about worship, worship has always been one of those things that, we talk about worship wars, you know, I like it this way or I like it that way or some like it this or some like it that. Worship is not for you. Worship has always been for God. When we look into the book of Genesis chapter number 3, we begin to look there and we begin to see where worship was one of the original things that Satan came into the garden and beguiled Eve over, and it was a relationship with God that was a dispute there on that occasion. And in our worship, we always draw close to God in our worship. Worship is a word that means to declare worthy. So when we worship God, we are saying to the demonic atmosphere above us, if you will, that God is worthy to be worshiped. So in this scripture, we see this in the book of Genesis, but yet we also see in the book of Exodus, and you can look at this one really quick on the screen, we can see this because Exodus chapter 20, Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5, it was the great commandments of the Lord. And the great commandments of the Lord hinges and it centers around our worship unto God and our perspective of God in our worship. So in this, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4 goes on to say, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. We talked about that Sunday night for just a little bit, and Sunday about Romans chapter 1. But yet, in verse number 5, this is what he says. He says, and this is the commandments of the Lord. This is one of the Ten Commandments. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation to them that hate me. Now, I'm not going to get into that latter part of that with generational things, and Sherry and I do a lot of talking about that, but I'm not going to get into that. But the thing I wanted to mention was that top part where the Bible says that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And I read that in my understanding of that, it is God telling the children of Israel and to all that would read the commandments that I and I alone am worthy of worship, and I alone want you to worship me. When we begin to look at this, we look throughout the scripture and a couple of verses in the book of Luke, you know this as well. But it was one of the things that the enemy tried to come to Jesus in Luke 4, 6 through 8 talks about this. And when Satan had come and he had come and he would try to tempt Jesus. And you can read that whole story there in the book of Luke chapter 4. But verses 6 through 8 actually says this, because he begins to say, and the devil said unto him, all this I will give you. Is that not what the world is being told today by the devil? All of the riches of the world, all the things of the world I will give you. He said, and all this power I will give thee, and all the glory of them, and that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. So we come back in verse 7 where Jesus again came back and him and the devil was having this conversation. I think it was more the devil having the conversation than Jesus. But he comes back and said, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. I love verse 8 because Jesus popped him between the eyes. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When I begin to read this psalm today, I begin, in a couple of days I've been meditating on it, but when I begin to put it together today, I can begin to see how the enemy was trying to steal away the worship. And again, in John chapter 4, we see this when the woman was there at the well. You know her very well. Verse 19 following, again, the Bible teaches us in that particular portion of Scripture. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And go on, Kathy, really quick on that. He says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. The Jews in Jerusalem, they said you need to go to Jerusalem. But I thank God that Jesus came, because we can worship Jesus anywhere. Somebody say amen. We can worship him anywhere. But he said, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, he goes on and says, you worship, you know not what. Just going through a routine, just going through a motion, just just going through some type of ritual, if you will, because it seems to be the tradition of the day to the Jew to do that. And again, that's a whole different set of circumstances with the Jew, because they felt they were justified by their works, and that's how they felt like they were justified. But yet we know that we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Her answer back to Jesus, look in 23. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, don't you like that? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Worship comes out of the innermost being of who you are. And the Bible says that God is looking for worshipers today. I was thinking about a song this morning as I was looking through this. Phillips, Craig, and Dean, they've got a song out, Let the Worshipers Arise. If there's anything that God is looking to the church or for humanity, is the next verse, you can go there. It says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If I had time tonight, I would ask you to stand up on your feet. We would give God an ovation of praise, and we would stand up, and for the next 15 minutes, we wouldn't do nothing but glorify God, and we would worship Him and magnify Him. Why? Because, my friend, He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshiped. And the Bible said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him with all of their heart, with all everything that's within their heart, everything that's within their spirit. And then He says truth. Amen. He says let the truth prevail. God knows whether you really love Him or not. So when we remember this, or when we look at this, we can see how that God invites all the people of the world to worship Him. He breaks this out in verse number 1. So we got that taken care of. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The next thing is, we can understand, looking at the scripture, that God wants you and I to engage in worship unto Him. Verse number 1 says this in the scripture. He says in our text today, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When we thought about that, we can see that God is a God that is a God that can be loved and a God that can be praised. And we see this in a couple of different scriptures. And first of all, you ask, why should I worship the Lord? Why should I engage in worship? There's the scripture, and it's a Jeremiah scripture, but it's out of the book of Lamentations. And I looked at this today. Out of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And this is what Lamentations Jeremiah was actually saying in verse number 20. And he reminds us of when we get out of bed of the morning, when we throw our legs out over the bed of the morning, you and I, we've got a reason to glorify God. We got a reason to magnify the Lord. Let me stay right there a minute and read this one. So why do we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands? He says, my soul hath Him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21 and following, he goes on to say these words. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Why? Because I know that God has not forsaken me. I know that God is the one that got me out of bed. The next verse, we go forward, and it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Oh, why have we got a reason to praise the Lord? Why should we, as you look in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands? Verse 23 is the key point here. He says, they are new every morning. Every morning, God's mercy is new. Every morning, God's faithfulness is new. Every morning is a brand new day, a brand new start, and a brand new opportunity to praise and glorify and magnify God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think we ought to take a praise break and give God a praise in the house tonight. He's worthy to be praised. This is why we need to praise the Lord. This is why we wake up and we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. We look into Psalm, I know this is a lot of scripture, but Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare his glory. In verse number 1 of Psalm 19, he opens this psalm, says, the heavens declare the glory of God. All you got to do is look around you. Hello, somebody. All you got to do is look around you and see that God is the one that is the creator of the universe. And somebody says, well, it's an amoeba that fell out of a frog's back and it fell into a pond and it became a man. You can believe that if you want to, but I'm not going to believe that. But God created them male and female, created he them. And one's name was Adam and the other name was Steve. Adam and Eve. It wasn't Steve, it was Eve. And the world today's got it all mixed up. And they want to get all the craziness in our world today. And let me tell you how I feel about it. I feel like it's time that we get back to the morality of the world and we get back to praising God, glorifying God, magnifying God, put a praise upon our lips and a song in our heart. And I'll go as far as saying, and even a dance in our step. And I don't even dance. I can't dance if I could. I would. But he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Real quick, verses 1 through 6, I believe it is. He says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3 says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And he says, their line is gone out through all the earth. This is nature. This is nature. Nature declaring the wonderful works of the Lord and the words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Look in verse 5, which is the bridegroom coming out of the bride chamber and rejoiceth at a strong man to run a race. Verse 6, the capstone. His going forth is from the end of the heavens and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In other words, God sees it all. He knows it all. He created it all, and he's worthy of it all. We ought to praise him, as Psalm 113 says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that the name of the Lord is to be praised. Verse 1 goes back again to our text in Psalm 101. He actually says this again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Somebody says, well, I can't carry a note in a tin bucket. It don't make no difference. God likes to hear the robin sing. He likes to hear the crow too. So the Bible says, whatever you do, let everything, Brother Tim, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's not a matter of how it sounds. It's a position of your heart, the motive of your heart. And if you love him, you're going to praise him. Amen. A pastor should never have to pump and prime and come on somebody and hello somebody. We should never have to do that, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you love him, you're going to praise him. Come on, somebody. Hello, somebody. He says again in this word, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why don't we just do that? Lift our hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you tonight. God, we glorify and magnify your name. We lift up your name in the sanctuary. We lift up your name to praise your name. We lift up your name to exalt your name. We lift up your name to glorify your name. There's no God like Jehovah, and there's no other God to be praised except the God, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, beginning and the end. Lord, we love you tonight, and we praise you in this house. And all the people of God, bless his holy name. The thing that we look at in the scriptures says, when we love him, it's an invitation to serve him. Serve the Lord. Serve him. Serve him. All throughout the scripture, there's verses that I could refer to. But yet we can see that this is an invitation in verse number 2. He says, serve the Lord. Serve him. Jesus, according to the book of Philippians, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant. I didn't go into those scriptures because I would have got stuck there. But Isaiah 53 is one that talks as he was led as a lamb before the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus surrendered there. But yet in the scripture, we can see this in John 13, verse 16, is where Jesus himself rises up from supper. And the Bible said there in that scripture that he took a towel and he girded himself. And Jesus ended up saying that I've given you an example as I've done unto you. You need to do one to another. Jesus was modeling servanthood. And in this society that we live in today, oftentimes we get sort of the mindset, what can somebody do for me? In all reality, true servanthood is, what can I do for you? Come on, somebody, help the preacher preach today. We cannot be egocentric, as it's called. We cannot be internal in our society today, only to think what is in it for us and what is beneficial to us. And God says in the Word that when we praise Him, we are emptying ourselves upon Him. When we serve Him, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. In other words, this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples before he sent them out. I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so you've got to go wash one another's feet. Did he mean that in a literal context? We don't like foot washing no more. We don't like to do stuff like that anymore. But I do believe in a literal foot washing. But there's other ways to wash people's feet, is by humbling yourself and becoming a servant unto all of those that are around you. And the true Christian has got a heart to serve in and be involved in the things that God would have us to be involved in. But we look at this again. He says, serve means to, watch this, it means to give oneself over to the service of another. So he says, serve the Lord. Give yourself over to the service of another. Give yourself over to the service of the Lord. I don't want us to be like Adam. God came down in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had hidden themselves in the bushes. All of a sudden, they realized they were naked. All of a sudden, sin had entered into their life. And the first thing that happened to Adam and Eve when sin entered into their life, they went and hid from God. But God says everything that's done in the darkness will be revealed by the light. But God came down in the cool of the day. He was looking for Adam and Eve, and he began to call. And he said, Adam, watch this. Where art thou? I still think that God's crying out for humanity today and saying, Adam, where are you at? And by that I mean he's still calling men, women, boys, and girls. And God has not given up on humanity because he loves humanity. He gave himself for humanity. But yet in the same regard, he teaches us that we are to yield ourselves to him. We are to serve him. And we are to give ourselves to him every day. The psalmist, again, most likely had the ideal in his mind of the principles of sacrifice, as a sacrifice would be brought and laid upon the altar in the tabernacle. But the Bible reminds us of this. I'm not going to take the time to read it all, just reminds you. But Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And he says that this is reasonable. He says that in the Word. It's not God asking you to do something that you're not able to do. Serve the Lord. So if we're going to worship God, it calls for us to be involved in service. Then he says, when you begin to look at this, he begins to look at this in our text in Psalm 100 again, in verse number 2. He says that we're to serve the Lord with gladness. David said, I was glad. Are you glad to come to church? Are you glad to come into the sanctuary of the Most High? Tell your neighbor right now, act like it. Come on now. My wife's helping me preach. Notify your face. And he says again, when you do this, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. This is what this word means. When I looked all this up and I was working through this again, you know what it really means? Do it gladly. Just do it. Just be glad. Just be happy. When you look at this word glad, it means to be filled with joy. I'm going to add to that a little bit. It is to be filled with exuberant joy. Do you remember the time in the Pentecostal church at large across the board when we would come in the house and, you know, we worry so much about wildfire, and I do too at times, but we would come into God's house and all you had to do is say the word Jesus, and there'd be some sister over in the corner, wow, wow, you know, they'd be praising God and glorifying God. I remember days like that. But anymore, friend, it seems like that it's not as exciting to serve God as it used to be. But I pray that Thomasville, as you've heard me say, I can't help what anybody else around here does. But as far as me in this house, I'm going to serve the Lord. We're going to do our utmost to, even though there's darkness all around us, we're going to be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. We're going to let people know that we're not going to become a part of the culture around us, that we're going to serve God and love God and worship God no matter what the whole world does. We're going to just continue right on serving the Lord and glorifying Him and magnifying Him. And we're going to find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as long as we're praising Him and magnifying Him, glorifying Him, He's going to strengthen you. He's going to pour into you like sweet hot honey, if you will. And it's going to, a praise is going to flow off of your lips. You will not be able to stand yourself if you'll get into God's presence on a daily basis and begin to praise God and magnify God and glorify Him. Nobody's going to have to pump you, prime you, beg you, plead with you. You're going to come in with a praise upon your lips, a song upon your heart, and you're going to be saying, hallelujah, that's my Jesus. Amen. Nobody could have done for me what Jesus done for me. People may look at you like a calf looking at a new gate, but honey, you say, they're acting like a nut. You say, well, there's one thing about it. I might be acting like a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Come on, somebody. And praise God and glorify Him no matter what goes on around us. I'll be honest with you, Sherry knows me more than anybody in this room. There's others that know me as well. But if I looked at everything that I went through and every circumstance of every day and everything I had to do every day, I would be depressed. I would be, what's that lame thing with a long neck, an ostrich? A turkey with a long neck? I would put my head in the sand. I'd put on earmuffs where I couldn't hear nobody. I would drown out the noise. But that's not what God's made us to do. God, and you might disagree with me tonight, but God has called us to be loud. God has called us to be unashamed of our praise to Him. I'm telling you, people at Walmart need to know that you're a Christian. Amen. Don't get in a fuss fight over the bread. Come on, somebody. Don't get in a fuss fight with anybody. Just glorify God and magnify God. And if you don't get a gallon of milk, go somewhere else and they'll have it. Come on. Praise the Lord. But He said, do what you do unto God. And He says in this word, not holding back. To do it with gladness. Don't hold back. You say, I don't want to disrupt the service, preacher, by saying amen. Disrupt the service by saying amen. You're going to add me on. You're going to help me preach. Just say amen. Or let me, you know, wave at me every now and then. Let me know you're breathing, you know. Just say amen every now and then. Or praise the Lord. Or hallelujah or something. Let me know you're out there. Hey, you better be careful. We can't be a spectator. You know what a spectator is? You shouldn't have said that. You know what a spectator is? That's them things they call eyes in those potatoes in your cupboard at the house. There's a speck in your tater. You got to be a participator. I'll leave that alone, Lynn, for right now. Gladness. Without holding back. Gladness. I'm glad you're laughing. It's time for the church to have joy. Time for the church to be involved and enjoy one another. Amen. When we come here. With all due respect to the Lord, He said gladness. He says this in the Word. Serve the Lord with gladness. And again, I don't have time to meddle here because I got five verses to go through. But I do remember when Isaiah was there in the book of Isaiah chapter 6 when the seraphim came down and the smoke filled the temple. The Shekinah glory come down. And Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Who am I going to send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah stepped up to the bat and he said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. When I think about serving the Lord with gladness, I don't know where you're at in the line, but at least you're in the line. You ought to be at the front of the line saying, God, here I am. And somebody's going to say, well, I don't, it's going to cost me, and it's sacrifice, and it costs too much to serve God. Hey, don't worry about all that. When you got a heart to serve Him, you don't worry about all the difficulties. You just get in line and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. But He said, serve the Lord with gladness. In other words, don't hold back. Look at your neighbor and say, quit holding back. And then He talks about not grudgingly. Not grudgingly is one of them things where people say, oh, well, it's church time. I guess I better get up here. I need to go. I'm going to get me a drink of water on that and let it sink in. It's church time, and I guess I need to get up here and go. I guess I'll go and get my nose counted, and I'm present. Shame on you. We ought to be exuberant. We ought to be happy. We ought to be exuberant to the fact that we can come into God's presence. He said, again, serve the Lord with gladness. He didn't say sadness, but He said without holding back, not grudgingly, not reluctant, not resentful, but willingly, to bring all the glory and the honor and the praise, to know that it is a privilege to know Him. It is an honor to serve the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time tonight. Amen, amen, and amen. There have been times in my life I've wondered why some people never raise their hands and worship God or glorify God, or they never vocalize a hallelujah. Somebody says, well, I'm shy and I'm introverted and it don't take all that. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. You are shy. You are introverted. And it may not take all that. But it's good for all of the brethren to dwell together in unity and every now and then us come together and say a great old big hallelujah to the Lord together every now and then. God made us. God made us with a voice. And our voice needs to magnify His name. Penny knows who I'm talking about. There's a guy that we know, some kin to her, and I started following him about a year ago or so on Facebook through Penny, and he works a lot in recovery, and he's got a big network in recovery. But this particular individual came down with larynx cancer, throat cancer. Now they've had to go in and strip his larynx. They've had to go in and strip his vocal cords. And now this man can't even talk. He's talking through a button in his neck and a tube in his throat. When he can do well enough, he's still going through extensive radiation treatment right now. When I was studying this today, I thought about him because it says that to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But he says in this, he says that oftentimes we think about people that will not vocalize their praise. This individual has a major influence on a lot of people. We don't understand why he's going through what he's went through. But I bet you right now, if I say bet, that's not a good word for the preacher. But I guarantee you right now, if this man could have his voice back, that he would lift it to the top of his lungs, wouldn't he, Penny? And he would magnify God and he would glorify God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying use what you have for God. Use your voice for God. I'm telling you, if we would come back in here Sunday morning, minus the snow, and if we would magnify God and glorify God, and these sometimers that come in on Sunday morning, they would wonder what in the world has happened to that church. They're on fire tonight. They're excited about being in God's house. They're excited. It'd be good to get excited about serving God again, wouldn't it? Shake your little head, yes. It would be good to get excited about serving God. He says this, serve the Lord with gladness. And then he said, come into His presence. Oh, come before Him. Come before His presence with singing. Can I tell you, this is Greenology, my opinion. The best singing that you will ever do is when, this is my experience, is when you're by yourself. It's not out of a tape recorder. It's not out of a cassette tape or a CD or anything like that. It's not out of the Redback hymnal, and it's not out of the most contemporary songs of the day. You know where it comes from? It comes out of the heart. It might not sound right. It may not sound good to the audience, but you have an audience of one. There have been many times when I've been in a truck by myself driving, many times when I've been on myself on the road doing what I've done for a living back many years ago, whether I was in a Pepsi truck, a Coca-Cola truck, or a RC Cola truck, you didn't know that story, or a 7-Up truck, whatever I was in at the time, that I would just be going down the road, magnifying God and glorifying Him. It starts off simple with, Lord, I love You and I praise You. And then you can start putting a melody. Harold, you know what I'm talking about. You've done it. You can start putting a melody to it. And I'm not going to go through all that tonight. But just sing to the Lord out of your heart. Come before Him with singing. It don't have to sound like it's being performance driven or orchestrated. Just sing from your heart. Sing unto the Lord. Amen. God has made us with a voice to magnify His name. Wherever we're at. Whatever we're doing. Then we look at this in verse number 3. And He says this in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Commentary said it like this. Know means to know in the sense of knowing someone. I want to say that again. Know in the sense of knowing someone. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. There's a difference between knowing the president and knowing about the president. No pun intended. So in this, we see again that where He says no means in the sense of knowing someone. In other words, commentary said like this, it is to have firm and good underfoot. By that, know the reason why you're doing what you're doing. Has God been good to anybody? Amen. And is He worthy to be praised? Amen. When you look at this again, in verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. In the end, in this, the Bible lets us know here, and this is where you and I have got to understand that our dependence is on Him. It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. Let me say this. When I was at Pepsi years ago, they used the name of the man that was our general manager over that plant. Asheville Citizen Times wrote a message, an article on him while I worked there. And in this, the header was, self-made millionaire. Well, they forgot to mention that his two aunts that he went to work for as a young lad, if you will, at Pepsi, owned the Pepsi plant. So that his aunts owned the plant, and it eventually came to him, and it was a multi-million dollar business in Western North Carolina. But they gave credit to this one man, and he said, self-made millionaire. Did y'all know? Get ready to fasten your seatbelt. You ready? You got yours fastened too. You didn't know this. Did y'all know I was a millionaire? My father has a cattle industry. He owns the cattle, and not only that, he owns the hills that the cattle are on. We're gonna walk on streets of gold one day. What men treasure as their life goal, we're gonna walk on. You know, all the gold in California is not in the bank in Beverly Hills. I don't know how it got transferred to glory, but it did somehow or another. You know, they've been looking for Solomon's temple and the Ark of the Covenant for a long, long time. I don't know what happened to all the gold. But I do know God's got a collection of gold in heaven. Amen. And the Bible says that we've not made ourselves. We work on ourselves daily. I do daily. Between me and Sherry, we do a pretty good job on me. Trust me. But the Bible lets us know that I am so codependent. I am a very codependent person. Because He said, we've not made ourselves. It's God that hath made us. Sue, I depend on him. Oh, how do I depend on him? Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Lord, the very breath in my lungs comes from you. Oh, God, let me not live without you. But every waking moment of the day, oh, God, in thee will I trust. My confidence is in you. We have not made ourselves. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. I need to get that in somebody's grain tonight to let you know that your self-dependence and your independence dependence is good until it comes to you being bigger than God. And God said, oh no, you've got to have me. And in the church of God here at Thomasville, my friend, we can't do this without him. I believe we need to start acting like that, that our dependency is in God. When you look at this, and he said, God has a plan for us all. God has a plan for us all, and God didn't make a mistake. When you were made, you were made with purpose. That's a whole set of things I could talk about. Do you know how often, as a pastor, I have to remind myself through the years? Recently, I've went through a few things and family and different things and struggles and just different things that we've went through. And I kept hearing the Lord say in my heart, God has a plan. God has a plan. When I would begin to get anxious on the inside of me, I would have to, when she got anxious, I was trying not to get anxious. But I was kept reminding she and I, and it don't mean it's always going to be good, but it always reminds me that God has a plan. God has a purpose. You may not be exactly where you need to be tonight. There might be things in your life that's got you tore out of frame tonight. You might be like my wife, all time wringing your hands and sweat coming off of your brow like the pastor. But I want to tell you tonight that God has a plan. I want us to know God has a plan. And he says this, that he hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people.
Amen. Yes, we are. Hallelujah.
Selah. Think about it. You don't belong to the devil. I need to tell somebody, why do you keep letting the devil beat you up? Tell the devil to go to hell where he belongs. That ain't a cuss word. That ain't a cuss word. That's where he's going. He's going to hell. He's going to the lake of fire. Tell him to get out of your life and tell him to go on. That's his destiny. And remind him now that he's going to end up there. Rebuke the devil. That's another message for another time. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Jesus did. Left him for a season in Luke 4. He said he left him for a season. You don't always have to be the bait of the devil. Your mind is the devil's playground. I understand that. But yet in the same sense, we've got to understand that we don't belong to the devil. Jeremiah 1 and 5, some of the famous verses that we know. I thought about this today because Jeremiah 1 and 5, he says these words. He reminded him that he was created for purpose. When we realize that we're created for purpose, we're going to shout. Freedom comes at a price. You can get free, but freedom comes with a price. But he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Yes, he's talking to Jeremiah. But yet we're no different than Jeremiah because in the womb, God knew us. I believe from the womb to the tomb, God has a plan. I got to hurry. Whew, I'm on shouting ground up here tonight. And he says, even from the womb to the tomb, God has a purpose. Sherry's favorite verse of scripture is out of Jeremiah 29:11. Mine is verse 13. Verse 29:11 says these words, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I need to get that into somebody's heart tonight. You've been walking around under a cloud, beating yourself down. You've not been able to praise God. You've not been able to glorify God. You've not been able to magnify God. But tonight your release is coming. Tonight your freedom's coming, because you're going to understand again you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. And greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. And you're going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You're going to change the mourning garment that you've been wearing to a garment of praise. Oh, my friend, God is getting ready to break free in your heart and in your life, and God's going to bring a great release to you so that you can open your mouth and praise Him even in the sadness of the morning or the loneliness of the night. Oh, just lift up your eyes, lift up your mouth, and begin to glorify and magnify and praise He who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Somebody read that with me. Thoughts of peace. Say it again. Thoughts of peace. One more time. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. Oh, God's going to bring you peace. We sing the song, Peace Speaker. Some of you in this room, you need to begin to articulate your praise in an ovation of worship that would manifest and glorify a praise unto God that would bring you peace through Him.
Amen.
Let Him be your peace. The next thing says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. If God be for you, then who can be against you? Then we are God's people. Living too many times unlike God. Pharaoh kept the children of Israel in bondage. He kept them in darkness. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures for the sake of time. I'm only going to mention them to you. But we are children of light. We are children of the day. God has not called us to darkness, but God has called us out of darkness. He tells us this in at least two different places. We might as well read them to make sense of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. I hope I wrote that down correct. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all the children of light and the children of day. Have we got a reason to praise Him?
Amen.
We've been redeemed.
Amen.
We've been saved.
Yes.
We've been sanctified.
Right.
We've been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We've been called out of darkness.
Yes.
Oh, we're not in Pharaoh's slave ship no more.
Right.
We're not in slave ship to the devil. Oh, God put a leap in my step and a praise upon my lips. The joy of the Lord has become my anthem. I can put gladness upon my lips and I can sing praises unto Him because I know who He is.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Jesus.
It's got to move beyond a religion. It's got to move beyond warming a spot on the pew. It's got to be moved beyond just routine or something that we ritualistically do. It's got to come into real relationship with Jesus. Janet, years ago, I don't know why it happened. I have no idea why it happened, standing in the driveway or wherever we were standing. It came off of my lips that we got to get back and talk more about Jesus Christ in the church. I remember that. For whatever reason, it was one of those moments. We can talk about all kinds of things in the church. But in all reality, we got to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
The next verse, again, we look at this in 1 John 1:5. We know the scripture very well. We've been in 1 John in several of our lessons. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If your life is dark, if you're struggling in darkness, come into the light. And it'll only come through doing what I've mentioned here tonight. Live for God. Stand in our God-given positions as God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture, according to Psalm 23. And he teaches us that we are to enter into his gates. The gates is known as a port of entry to enter into God's presence. The Bible says, giving him thanks. Not begging him, not asking him, but thanking him. As we thank him in verse number 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. He says, enter into his courts with praise. The courts was that inside area. According to commentary, the courts represents a deeper and a more intimate presence. Like the courtyard or surrounding the tabernacle leading toward God's dwelling, which was the Holy of Holies. It's that courtyard outside the tabernacle. In other words, it's considered the more sacred space. Praise, thanksgiving will get you in the gate. But when you look at this, he says, move on in. Move on in. I say it like this. Go deeper in your relationship with God. Quit living on the surface. God has more for you. God has more for the church. God has more for me. God has more for us. But it's going to come when we push our way in. We're not satisfied standing on the outside. In his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and 13, the verse I wanted to share is the verse I love, one of many. But he says, when you look at this, he says, and you shall seek me and find me. I want to read that again. You shall seek me and find me. How long has it been since you made a determination in your heart? Lord, I'm turning off the noise. I'm going to shut the door. My wife invited me out this morning to go with her in her travels today. And I felt, no, I need to stay here and I need to study. I need to be in this space today. Because I knew I was preaching tonight and I didn't want my day to get cluttered with things. I wanted it to be this time with God today. And this is one of the things I believe with everything within me. If we earnestly desire God and we earnestly spend time seeking God, guess what's going to happen? God's going to show up. God's going to show up. Adam, where are you? I'm hiding in the bushes. It's not where God wants you. It's in his presence. There's a lot of preaching in all this tonight. A lot of preaching in it. And he said, you shall seek me and find me. I love that. God's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to push us aside. He's not going to ignore us. Kids were little, and even the grandkids do it now. Mom, mom, mom. Aaron done it more than any of them. Mom, he'd do it on purpose. Mom, mommy, mama. Sherry say, what? Hey, remember that? Hey, it's like God's not going to turn you away. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've been with or what you've done when you're there. I'm glad that he's our loving Heavenly Father that hears the cry of his children.
Amen. Thank you,
oh, God, I felt you tonight. He says that when you search for me with all of your heart, that verse 5, when you look at verse 5 of our text, Psalm 105, he goes, 100 verse 5, this is what he ends up saying. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. God is good. God is not evil. God's attributes towards you is good. God is good. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good. Good. Good means pleasant. Good means beautiful. It means excellent, lovely, delightful. And this is, again, a little bit of my feelings, but when you go into God's presence, man, it's awesome to be in God's presence, a place of peace and a place of worship, a place of solitude, a place that's surreal, a place that, that only God can give you the very touch upon your heart's life that you need. God is good. John Bevere says good is the opposite of great. So I wanted to say God is great. Good is just the status quo. That's just to get, be enough, you know? God is great. When you begin to look at that, he talks about his mercy. We know that his mercy in some ways is God not giving us what we truly do deserve. But in this, it talks about the benevolent side of God. God giving you what you really don't deserve, but God's benevolent and God's going to give you love whether you deserve love or not. Woo! Don't look at your neighbor. Please don't look at your neighbor. But if there ever been anybody that you'd like to slap their head off, don't look around. Don't look straight forward. You'd like to give them a little bit of what for. But because of the love of Jesus, you learn to love people where they're at. And I'm going to go across the board and say this. You've learned how to zip your lip. She's still working on me on that one. But I always get the last word. I promise you that. Yes, ma'am. And Tim says I'm a smart man. His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. Why would we not praise him? Why would we not glorify him? Why would we not have a song upon our lips and a praise upon our lips? Because God, in his goodness and God, in his mercy, the Bible said that it's everlasting. Forever and always. In his truth. We talked about truth Sunday, didn't we? His truth. His whole truth. He knows you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You might as well be honest with God because he already knows. Amen. Just be truthful with God. God, I'm struggling today. God, I'm not having a good day. God, I need extra strength today. God, I have needs in my life, Lord, and I bring my petition before you. And then he says in this latter part, to all generations, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But yet God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. See, Sherry and I have been having these conversations. I've been saying something that challenges my theology sometimes because it says, I heard this somewhere and I know where it comes from, and I have to really work real hard to overcome this because I say words like, well, if God wants them saved, they'll be saved. And I've been trying to argue in my heart about that statement over things, and Sherry says, well, you know God wants them saved because God's not willing that any should perish, but God wants them to repentance. Well, let me just jump the hoop. Let me just jump over here and talk about it for a second. Calvinism says that God is only going to save certain people. Harold, if I get in a hole, you help me get out. Calvinists believe only a certain people are the elect of God, and only a certain people are going to be the ones that God has chosen to get into heaven. I don't believe that. Do you, Brother West? I don't believe that because the Bible said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Amen. Paul told the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I wouldn't have saved the Philippian jailer if I was Paul. I wouldn't have even told him. I'd have told him to go jump off a cliff somewhere and hang from a noose by his neck. You know, I'd have told him something real ugly. But Paul told him something very spiritual. I wish I could be spiritual sometimes. And he just told him to go get saved, be saved. They took him, they washed their stripes, they fed him, and they went on about their business preaching Jesus. Ain't God good? I hope y'all enjoyed tonight. I enjoyed preaching tonight better than I've enjoyed preaching in a long time. I've really just had a ball with you tonight. Just enjoyed speaking my heart and relaxed, just enjoying. But what would give me more joy than anything, as the Bible says, that my people would worship God. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. Put those antennas in the air. Put those spiritual antennas in the air and tell the Lord you love him tonight. Tell him that you praise him. Tell him that you just love him. And God, I thank you for the evening. I thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity, God, to come here this evening. I pray, Father God, that you would touch us and help us, God, tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would just bring praises as we bring praises to you. We honor you, and I thank you, Heavenly Father God, for your blessing. We give you all the praise tonight. I pray, God, for this request that Cindy has tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father God, that you would just touch this situation, touch her brother, God. Be with the family, God, tonight as he's in a lot of pain. I pray, Father God, that you would just help this situation, God. Help him, Lord Jesus, tonight to receive healing. Touch the family, God. I just pray, God, that you be with them. And we ask you this in the name of him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all the people of God said, amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? One quick prayer request that came in. Cindy Southers is asking us to pray for her brother, Rodney.